One-on-one interviews with youth in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have become a public topic of discussion this year. A former bishop who was advocating for the end of these interviews and the sexual questions occasionally asked was excommunicated from the LDS Church in September. KUER's Lee Hale has been reporting on the simple question, why do these interviews happen at all? A quick warning, this story addresses adult themes and may not be appropriate for children.
Braxton Dutson grew up in Payson, Utah, a rapidly growing city south of Provo. But when Dutson was a kid, back in the 90s, it was a sleepy farm town, and everyone was Mormon.
There were so many people that were LDS that if you came across a non-member, it was really weird.
As you can imagine, in a community like that, sex education was not a top priority. Dutson distinctly remembers the first time he heard the word masturbation. He was 13 years old, and he was at church. A youth leader was explaining to him and a group of other young men what masturbation was and why it was a sin.
I figured, one, that I had invented this masturbation thing, so I didn't know about it, that anyone else was doing anything like that. And then, two, when I found out that this was a sin, then I thought, holy cow, I'm the only one doing this, because this is bad and everyone else is good.
The boys were about to be interviewed one-on-one in order to enter the Mormon temple, a practice that starts at age 12. It's known as a worthiness interview. Part of being worthy to enter the temple includes living the law of chastity, the Mormon term for saving sex or anything that arouses sexual feelings for marriage. Dutson sat down with one of his church leaders who asked him if he ever masturbated. He said yes, and the leader stammered a bit. He said maybe it would be better if Dutson didn't go to the temple for the planned trip coming up.
I was floored, just devastated, because up until then, I was the most perfect I could possibly be, probably to a fault.
The leader, following church protocol, sent Dutson to meet with the bishop, the head of the congregation. They're supposed to handle any sexual topics. As he was waiting, Dutson started thinking up lies he could tell his parents about why he wasn't going to the temple with his peers. But then, his bishop surprised him.
He said, don't worry too much about it. You're fine. Just try and keep it to a limit. And just do your best. He was really, really understanding with that. Calmed my nerves. I didn't have to come up with a lie or anything like that.
It was a roller coaster of emotions in just a matter of minutes. These days, Dutson is a certified sex therapist working in Salt Lake County. Many of his clients are Mormon, and they have their own stories about those one-on-one worthiness interviews.
There's been far too many people come see me because they've, in their own words, been held hostage by the bishop or by someone asking them, probing for questions, asking a young girl how she touches herself, why, and what she feels or what she thinks about.
He says the same goes for the men. In the worst circumstances, these questions have led to deep-rooted shame that can complicate marriages and even lead to self-harm. These are the types of stories that have made headlines this year. Just this past weekend, the public radio show This American Life dedicated half of its program to the topic. But Dutson says he sincerely believes the vast majority of bishops are trying to avoid causing any harm in these situations. He says they simply aren't equipped or trained to discuss sexual matters with youth.
Is there ever any circumstance where it would be appropriate to ask the kind of detailed questions you're referencing? The fact like, where did you touch yourself? How did it feel? Were the images in your head? Is any of that ever helpful?
From a bishop?
Yes.
No, that... I don't know what the bishop would then do with that information.
Josh Sundloff has heard these stories too, about probing questions with disastrous results. Sundloff has been serving as a bishop of a congregation just north of Salt Lake in Kaysville for the past year. And while these stories don't reflect his personal experience, he says his heart goes out to those who have felt harmed.
And if I had a person sitting across from me who had gone through something like that, my first thought and reaction would be to tell him how sorry I was that it happened.
Sundloff says there's an easy way to avoid these moments. Simply follow the most recent guidelines as prescribed by top Mormon church officials. He says the only sexual-related question he's expected to ask someone is, are you living the law of chastity? It's yes or no, and he says it's wisely concise. Occasionally, a teenager will ask him a question or offer up something they feel guilty about, which Sundloff will then discuss.
But if there are things that make the youth uncomfortable or maybe even, frankly, make me uncomfortable, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to refer them and encourage the youth to talk to their parent.
Sundloff sees a bigger principle here. In the year since he's been called as bishop, he's learned to see his role as relatively minor in the lives of his congregation. He believes it pales in comparison to the role parents should play in their teenagers' lives. And he thinks when those priorities are misunderstood, that's where problems can sprout up.
I think we do sometimes default to more trust than is necessary.
Sunloff wants to earn the trust of his youth. He wants to prove that he doesn't define them by their shortcomings or their guilt. And he especially wants them to know that if they don't feel comfortable sharing something with him, then he is more than okay with those things going unsaid. Lee Hale, KUER News.